you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, what's going on, No Need family?
What's happening? Do that again.
Hey, what's going on, No Need family?
How you doing? I see that you're here for, is this the beginning? This is for the beginning.
This is the beginning, yeah.
All right, I'm shutting up. Do your thing.
What's going on, No Need family? I'm the God.
And I'm the great boy.
Hey, I know we say this every week.
Every week.
Fucking mean it. This episode is crazy.
Absolutely.
We got Dan Soder coming on.
The guy. Bonfire Man. Billions. That dude. Son of a Gary. Came on.
Oh, yeah.
Blessed us.
So check in. Sit back. Relax. Enjoy the episode.
That's the white man. That's rude. Man, Tommy, terrified.
Yeah.
Tommy, terrified. He has the face of an eagle.
Yeah. That's like, because it is terrifying to see somebody new for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Like, you remember the first time you left your neighborhood and saw kids that you can tell, like, oh, shit, I'm far from home.
Yeah, they're not from here.
Yeah, right? Dude, you get that energy.
Where my dad lived, he lived in this fucking podunk part of Northern California.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I grew up in like suburbs of Denver.
Yeah.
I grew up middle class suburbs, right?
Uh-huh.
Green belts, fucking AYL, football, all that normal shit.
Suburb shit.
I went to where my dad stayed, were lake people. And the first time you see like rural lake people, you're like, oh, fuck.
Hold on, what you mean?
Like these people that just lived out in this fucking podunk town that my dad moved to.
Uh-huh.
So they're rural, so they're just like separated from everybody. The lake people are either the people that I've said this before, but it's the more I say it, the more I realize how true it is. If you have a house on a lake,
mm-hmm.
you're very wealthy. If you live near the lake, you are fucking poor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Lake people are fucking terrifying.
Dan Soder, ladies and gentlemen, here opening
way
up the podcast with the. This is why I love talking
people.
To Dan, man. So, yeah.
They got moss on their skin.
Oh, they smell like moss. Also, they know how to tie stuff down to put it at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
No.
Because I know what you're talking about. Sometimes when you're on the road and you see like a lake and there's like those shanty towns of like weird trailers that you're like, I don't even think they're paying to be here. They just kind of like, you know, there's tarps. There's anywhere where there's tarps, you're like.
Beautiful, beautiful landscape. Terrifying people.
Jesus Christ, I get it.
That's the subway of the rural.
Yeah, dude.
Of rural North Podunk, California. Podunk, that's so
funny. That always was like a question I was intrigued by, where like, is it scarier for a white guy like me to go into like Crown Heights in circa 85?
Okay.
Or for you guys to go rural. And I think
the latter.
I think it's the latter. It's always the latter.
Latter.
You know what gives it away is like they could stop to be like, is this dude a cop? They could
for me.
They're like, this guy might be a cop, and I don't want that heat. You, they're like,
oh well, we got plenty of time and space.
Yeah, they'd be like, is this dude sweet? Does he taste sweet?
Yeah,
I hear the blood is sweet. That's what they'll say out there.
Oh, but see, also,
wrong turn. You ever see that shitty movie? Wrong turn.
Wrong turn was great.
Catch an arrow in your fucking Achilles tendon.
You yelling like that?
Is that the Street Fighter death?
Anybody? That's how everyone in an action in a horror movie yells when they get hit with like an arrow. Fucking Stevie, you gotta help!
And you hear the blood coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But dude, I mean, as you know, as a white guy going to a rural place like this lake town, I was like, damn, this
you
is
get uncomfortable also?
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
So there's, because I mean, that's interesting because there are black people don't scare me. Like, I don't think there's any kind of black person that scares me, even the muddiest of the mud or the gutter of the gutter. But white guys do have white guys that, like, don't fuck with each other.
Shit, yeah, dude. Yeah. There's white dudes that I will, because I grew up without a dad and I grew up with a mom, like a single mom, I feel like, and Derek, I don't know if you feel the same way, but sometimes when you're around dudes, you're like, oh, you're going to think I'm a bitch. I'm not even going to fuck with you. Like, because, like, how dudes are when, like, I'm talking about blue collar, fucking calloused hand dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like,
you know what I do? I walk around with my fist balled up.
He's just like, don't you fucking touch me.
Like, I'm just like, if y'all pop off, I'm going at the I do that. That's my suburban mechanism.
Whenever I see that, I'm always like, you guys probably think I'm a pussy. You know what I mean? I was always like, I just, all right, you know?
Okay, that's interesting, though, because I think I remember having that as, like, a kid. When my dad wasn't around and my mom tried to get me involved in, like, sports.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, these kids, they're already here. They're not going to. And I wasn't good at, like, basketball. Like, I suck at throwing a football, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My mom just kind of, like, my mom's a fucking... She was a dad, dude. There's no other way to explain
it. So was mine.
My mom was a fucking dad.
Was she?
Yeah, my mom was just drunk, angry, and she kind of pushed me out there with other blue-collared men. Like, go figure it out.
That's almost the exact same as my mom.
Yeah.
My mom was kind of like, what are you fucking crying about?
Yeah,
What the fuck do you have to cry about? And you're like, I don't know. I can think of a couple things, but you're right. It took me until my 30s in therapy.
Yeah.
For my therapist to be like, hey, your mom's supposed to do those things. Stop acting like she, because I'd be like, she put a roof over my head. She put clothes on my back.
She programmed you. Yeah.
And then my therapist was like, yeah, she probably said all those things to you. I was like, almost. Damn.
Yeah. I just had a weird argument with my mom on my daughter's birthday because I don't talk to my mom like that. And my mom, every now and again, she gets through. Yeah. She got through because it was my daughter's birthday. I thought she was calling to, and she went right into her shit. And it got into that thing, and I had to let my mom know. I'm like, "Yo, mom, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but like, you're on pills. You've been on pills since I was like 16.
Dang.
So like, it's not you're not the same person.
I'm not talking to you,
right? Yeah. Like, I love you, thank you. And it was funny because she starts going, "What are you talking about? I always took care of my business." And I'm like, "Listen to you. This is how junkies talk.
Yeah.
Like when you start throwing off that you did what you were supposed to do, like." I paid the bills. It's like, okay, but you were drunk and angry, and it made me, like, weird.
And you're programmed. And you're programmed like that. You know what I mean?
Because I still feel guilty when I don't answer her calls, where it's like, this is a toxic relationship. This person's only calling to, like, berate me.
You know? You know the bare minimum? I did that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Rock,
I did that.
Chris Rock on
it's Bigger and Blacker, isn't it?
It's the one, Bring the Pain.
The first one.
I take care of my... You're supposed to, you dirty motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's you want a cookie?
That's exactly true. I didn't realize... Cookie? Dude, my dad would always be like, I don't see because your mom. Your mom's a bitch. Your mom just fucking...
Okay.
Your mom
we talk about this all the time.
And I maybe saw my dad 3 times after I was 9.
Yeah.
Before he died. Like, I saw him 3 times. And he would always be like... You know, I think you're the coolest. Like the way he would get me, where he'd be like, fucking your mom doesn't want us to hang out.
Dude.
And then I would fly back to Denver and be like, fucking bitch. Just like sitting at home, like, this fucking bitch doesn't want me to hang out with my boy, with my fucking best friend.
With my homie.
Yeah, I'm that way with my kids, man. My oldest is like that because me and her mom, we were too young. So, you know what I mean? So you can watch when I'm talking to her like that, where I'm like, hey, man, whatever you want, kiddo, we're good. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And you realize, like, oh, you're not what my mom said at all. You know what I mean? And I realize, because my mom used to talk cash shit about my dad.
My mother never talked big cash about my pop. My mother allowed me to look at my father as a king.
Good.
She never
fucking smart.
So every time I saw my dad, it was on. Like, go-karts. Hot dogs, brontosaurus burgers, and I go back and it'd still be cool with my mom. So it was a good level shit.
I can tell with Derek, because whenever you hang out with Derek, there's just like this positive energy where you're like, you're a good fucking dude. Whenever I see Derek, I'm always like, you're a good dude. And then there's like people like what Dave and I are talking about, where me, I'm a nice guy, but then I immediately am like, what do you really want from me?
Yeah.
Like immediately I'm like, that was a fun, why did they say those nice things?
Because you had to learn how to deal with... A calculated woman since you were 7 years old, right?
Man.
My girlfriend right now has my back open and all my wires out, and she's like, why did they program it like this? She's like, this thing's fucked. And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know.
My mother was a good woman, right?
No, what's great about my girlfriend is she doesn't do the thing of like, oh, your mom fucked you up. My girlfriend does a great thing where she's like, man, your mom... nailed it with what she had and got through with it.
Yeah.
We don't realize now that you're older and you have kids of your own, you realize, like, man, there's a lot of fucking pressure to show up every day and fucking do this.
Yeah.
And so when I got into my 30s and got into therapy, I turned around to my mom, and this was recent, probably in the last 2 years, and I was like, hey, I owe you a big apology because I was mad at you and treating you like shit this whole time because of something some drunk dude said to me when I hung out with him a couple times.
Wow.
Like, if you put it on paper, it's like, yo, you have been with me 37 years of my life.
Right.
Never left.
Right.
This guy, 5 years, takes off, has a cup of coffee with me when I'm fucking 10. And I'm judging her the rest of my life.
Well, ho, because now, and this is where we have to be honest on this shit, because we never even got back to that. No one got back to us on our rape stories as to whether or not we were raped or not. All right? Remember we talked about that. I conceived a kid on the floor, passed out, like this girl, I'm trying to break up with her, and I'm high on cough syrup medicine because I got the
DJ
flu.
Screw? I thought you were fucking chopping screw and shit.
Right. Yeah. But, you know.
Every day I'm hustling.
I love my daughter, but, you know, my daughter is a product of, like, her mom trying to force something to happen.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So, and realizing that, where it's like, okay, everything now, understanding what I was going through, trying to, like, I'm trying to be here and be a good person, but this whole situation, this trio, this family, really is a weird doing of hers.
I think there's, I can't speak for you because I'm not in your situation.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. I just watched a video. This guy in San Diego got caught trying to get rid of his wife's body in the bay. He had her in the freezer for two years.
That just took a jump in a way where I was like...
But listen to what I'm saying. Hold on, listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, I'm listening.
He got 16 years of life for the thing, and the family's like, he's a fucking piece of shit. Mm-hmm. He's a piece of shit. He took our daughter. However, if he'd have broke up with her, he'd have been a piece of shit.
Sure.
They'd have been like, yo, you fucking left her, like, after all this time? And it's like, how... That's a weird thing. How do you get out?
Well... There's a little thing called finality. Murdering a woman brings around a finality
that I don't think
you want.
There's too many spices.
I've always learned, man, I have always learned in relationships, say when you've had enough, even if you think it's impossible to get out of, because when you look back, you'll be like, I said something, I made a move to get out. There it was. Because a lot of people I know that end up cheating, end up hating, end up probably murdering their spouses, feel like they have these things that they can't get out of. But in reality, it's like, well, just cut it and then deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, get out and then try to salvage.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because if you stay in it and you resent it, you're just growing. Like, if you would have stuck with it and been like, I'm a dad now, no matter what. And there's guys
I'll be
like,
up doing yoga, that's for sure.
But look how much healthier your life is now.
Exactly.
But look how much better you can be in your daughter's life because you were like, fuck this. This is not the right thing.
But I don't feel that way. And I feel like society kind of guilts you into like, if you leave and you upgrade, you're like, I do a joke about this now. I go like, yo, if you were in a relationship and, like, you broke it off, whoever's life got better, they were right.
It's fucking true, though. Because it's like, you were weighing me down, you anchor.
It worked.
Fucking
what
anchor.
What we did worked.
Yeah.
I had to go.
But I also think that there's this, like, there's this unrealistic expectation that all these relationships are supposed to be perfect and last forever.
Yeah.
Where you're driving a car, dude. Cars don't last forever. But if you upkeep that car and you clean it, it's going to run a long time, and it's going to run real well. And that's just something that I never knew in my 20s. I was always like, you're supposed to find the thing that's perfect, and it's going to fit, and then it's just going to go forever. And it's like, well, that's not at all how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's relationships that are going to end in your life that you're like, I never thought that relationship was going to end. I had that happen with a friendship recently where I just had to tell a friend, like, yo, you're hurting yourself. I can't watch you do this. I can't be your friend. And he had a completely different outlook on it. He's like, you're judgmental. I don't want to be your friend. And you're like, man, I never thought that friendship was going to end.
Right.
But I did it hoping that his life would get better. And that doesn't mean it's going to be over. And breakups I've had breakups with girlfriends where I was like, man, I don't really want to see that person, care about that person or whatever. And then years later, something happens where we make contact and I'm like, oh shit, you ended up like a great person. And they'll be like, Yeah, like, oh, this helped me. Like, I fucking hated you when we broke up, you know? Mm. Or they'll tell me some shit, and then you're like, oh, but I'm glad you're at where you're at. And I think it's led me to being in a healthy relationship.
Okay. Like, I haven't experienced that yet. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. All right, so any ex-girlfriends out there that got your shit together, hit me up. Just show me. Like, I'm trying to fuck.
But also, there's like, yeah. Well, because when you reach out, it always looks like you're trying to fuck.
That's so like, funny. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, hey, it looks like your life's going well.
Hey.
And it's like, burn it. It's a sharp, it's the Jaws music. Burn it. Burn it. You want to hang out? And then what trips them out is just when you're nice. When you're just like, yeah, I just want to make sure you're doing all right.
Yeah.
I've done that. But all mines were flings. They were like never really.
Yeah.
It was just girls I met in L.A., your girls I met in New York, wherever the fuck I was.
Yeah, that's when you give them the fucking head
nod. Like, they'll get
distant.
Into a relationship, and I'll be like, good on you.
Yeah.
Because I remember you said some shit like that when we was fucking around.
Man.
So I'm glad you found what you was trying to find, man. That was so nice of you, Derek. How you doing, single little motherfucker?
Yeah.
But that was before. Like, I got a girl now, and it's going well. We don't fight. It's nice. It's been a nice 8 months. So I'm just cool.
But what's funny is when you give them the pat on the back, we go, hey, I kind of fucked your life up a little bit, but doing all right.
Yeah, like I good luck chucked you.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I'm a good luck chuck guy.
I rocked you, you reassessed, right? And you went down the wrong path. You went down the right path. So Mark seems like a lovely man.
He seems like a lovely dude.
Liking posts of your ex when you have zero interest in being in their life, where you're just like, hey.
Me and my current ex are like that now. Like, so I was in a 10-year relationship. We broke up. She just moved out to Arizona.
Okay.
And it's gotten better. But it is funny to watch her stuff on Instagram and like it and not be concerned about dudes in the comments that are all like, because it's like, hey, good. You know,
dude, the best is when an ex comes around and listen, you said a lot of shit that I thought was fucking stupid or whatever. This last piece of shit I dated, and you're like, comparison.
Yeah.
I'm the being lesser compared.
Evil.
Ah.
The lesser evil.
So you realize I wasn't a piece of shit. Ah.
And that's the way it is with my first baby mom. Jesus Christ, I'm so ghetto. All right, listen, my first baby mom, though, I watch her kick boyfriends out.
Yeah.
Which that is always funny, too.
That you're like,
oh. So
last time I checked, I didn't get kicked out.
I never got kicked out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was my intimacy too much for you to deal with? And this guy throws full bottles of beer at your head. maybe weigh it in. Cold and unable to connect. Highly abusive.
Enjoy
and
Brutus, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm over here eating my spinach. Yeah. Fuck you.
Oh, remember that you didn't like that I liked wrestling? Well, this guy likes to powerbomb you through tables. So fucking. How about probably one.
This bitch is dating a Hardy boy. Yeah. I came in late a few times, but you dating a whole Hardy boy, bitch.
He brought a ladder in.
Ladder, bitch.
That is the funny thing, where you're just going to be like, where have you been hanging out since we stopped dating?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
You just watch the quality just go down. And
I try, I try to cheer for most of my exes, but, you know. There's been an occasion or two where you see him date a shithead.
Now, let me ask you, do you think like we're only that way because like we have careers and entertainment? I mean, do you think you would feel the same way if you were just fucking pushing boxes in a warehouse?
Yes. In fact, I feel like I would be way more invested in like, oh, this, she's doing, if I just stayed in Aurora, I was just working at a warehouse or whatever, and I had a girlfriend probably from like high school.
Yeah.
I always think about that. I always think about like my Aurora life.
Yeah.
I would have never done
the
comedy.
Other life.
And I'd probably just have like probably a couple kids, probably be divorced. Probably still be drinking. I wouldn't realize I have a drinking problem. So I'd be drinking.
Yeah, because you're around everybody that's drinking.
Everyone, I'm drinking. And I don't have anybody that was like my friends that were like, hey, you got this, you can have a career. You just got to stop drinking.
Yeah.
I didn't. If I lived in Aurora, they'd be like, You ain't going to meet assistant manager. Fuck, let's go get fucked up. I'd be like, hell yeah. Let's go get fucked up.
But wings on you.
Who needs a license? I'll pick you up.
I think that's where social media would be more toxic. Because I would be like, oh, let's see what fucking Jenny's doing, fucking bitch. You know? And then you're like, I'm one-eyeing it, smoking in a fucking camping chair in my garage while my kids are sleeping. And I'm like, fucking this bitch. What she fucking.
Oh my God. Right?
You know, then my wife comes out. She's like, what time you got to work? I'm like, shut up.
Take the trash out, Dan.
Shut the fuck up,
Dan.
Colby's sleeping. I checked on him. Motherfucking bitch. You believe me?
Your wife would definitely call you, Dan.
What? The fuck you want? Were you looking at her Instagram? I told you I don't look at Instagram anymore. Fucking nuggets are on tomorrow. You better have a rip.
Your life would just be the reboot of Roseanne, you know?
Dude, 1,000%. I'd be an unloving Dan Connor.
Grab me some of that tough ass steak you made yesterday.
Shut up! Breakfast burrito tomorrow.
Still drunk, one eyeing it in your phone. I'm gonna see if fucking Joel's up.
Joel, are you up?
Come on and pick me up. I don't have a license. This bitch is tripping.
They got me on I-25 when I was hammered.
I would have got away with it too if this bitch didn't jump out in front of my car.
Fucking bitches.
It's never their fault. Fucking judge had it in for me, man. I know that prick from high school. That's the only reason why he hit me with the DUI.
We were on the same soccer team when we were 10. And he's a fucking know-it-all.
Do you ever think about like where you would be without comedy?
Absolutely. It probably wouldn't have been good. It might have been good. I might have stayed a jazz musician.
I'd be in our alternate universe. I'm like trying to put together money to go see you for my wife's birthday.
And I'm in there.
She goes, all I want is Derek Gaines tickets. And I'm like, they're fucking 70 a pop, Samantha. I didn't get fucking paid last week. What do you want? Yeah. And Derek's like, shitty,
welcome to the Derek Gaines Quartet. Y'all came out to Zanzibar tonight.
And then I'm exactly too drunk. The same. Yeah.
I might have been the same, but
same tattoos and everything. He'd have turned out exactly the same.
Either route, it would have been some kind of entertainment.
Because this is the energy his mom put in him. You understand? Yeah. Like, he was not going to have
you
gotta a
understand,
job.
My mom fortified me early. First of all, came out the womb, spoiled the shit. Grandma gave me like $3,000 worth of baby clothes. like just growing up, if I got good grades, steakhouse, just see your father. That's your guy. Go have fun with your father. My father was like, yeah, man, all that. You know, it was different.
I know people that positive reinforcement. Yeah. One of my best friends in middle school, he got that positive reinforcement. He gets straight A's. He gets Sega Channel.
Yeah.
He had a bathroom in his bedroom.
Oh, God.
And now he's the offensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
Bang.
So it works out.
Yeah, my mom.
What do you think a guy like that is? What is his thing, you think?
I had a bathroom in my bedroom.
What is the thing that keeps him up at night?
He's this obsessed. He's obsessed with football. He's obsessed with football the way we're obsessed with comedy.
Word.
It's got to be a thing. You got to find a thing that you go to bed thinking about, and you're like, fuck, I can do it better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you fucking wake up. But yeah, man, that positive reinforcement shit can work.
It can work.
It can also fail.
I had a bathroom in my room, one of our apartments. I had a bathroom. I had my own personal
that to me was
my
like,
daughter has one, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of my daughters have their own bathrooms.
I had a couch in my room.
Are
you serious?
What?
I remember when me and my mom first moved to Jersey from Philly, our first apartment on Grove Street. That shit was awesome.
What
ceilings.
What kind of stuff was on your walls?
She had an upstairs little fucking... My first in Philly, it was all Tyra Banks because Tyra had them natural titties.
Yeah.
Victoria's Secret.
That was the first Sports Illustrated I
And I was
to.
Just like, it was Tyra all over my walls.
Taped or framed?
Taped.
Okay.
Polka dot, obviously.
But no, I did the thing where I laid it down and did the little roll tape. I did it so it wouldn't look like.
Oh, you did it where you pressed it?
Yeah. So I did I rolled the tape on the corner and put it up.
Look at you.
The five head didn't bother you at all.
Nah.
Okay.
Big for it, but I loved her. When she got shot in Higher Learning, my heart exploded for her. I was like, I need this bitch in my life. She died.
Oh, my
God. And I was like, oh, they killed Deja, nigga.
Deja!
I'm putting Deja up on my wall.
Deja!
I need Deja on my walls, bro. Yeah, so.
Man.
It's good times,
If I wasn't a comic,
If
I wasn't a comic, I'd be in trouble for something else. Because I was working like corporate jobs. So I used to be in life insurance sales at MetLife.
Oh, shit.
But I'm faking the funk.
He like I'm coming over mics with suits on. It was crazy.
I'm here because this is what they say you're supposed to do to be successful.
Sure.
Like I got a degree in math and economics.
Damn.
None of that shit suits me.
Yeah.
So that pinned up regression of trying to be normal from 9 to 5 to fit in with these people, it would have driven me to some sort of, if not drugs, alcohol, sex addiction, something, or I would have been scamming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And got caught for like money or some shit.
That's what people need to realize. If you have like we're not bagging on you if you have a job like that. If you work at MetLife and you sell life insurance, that's awesome. But make sure you have something that fulfills you.
You got to have an outlet. Absolutely. Yeah.
You got to have a hobby. I remember growing up, hobbies were always like gay.
Yeah.
You know? Like you like you got a hobby?
Yeah.
Gay?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want to like stuff.
Yeah.
I want to fucking like something. And they're like, fucking turd.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, man.
If your hobby wasn't sports, you were gay.
Yeah.
You were, dude. Yeah. I used to play the clarinet elementary to middle school.
Imagine if you would have wrote that out.
I probably would have been like Kenny G.
Dave G.
You know what you'd be able to do right now, Dave?
Temple
you'd be
Jazz.
Able to read music in a way where you delicately put the paper over and you go, okay, that's an E into a G.
Yeah, you would have been doing You've been doing movie scores by now.
I can't stress to young kids enough, hold on to your nerd shit.
Yeah.
Hold on to the shit. Because I wanted to be good at football. I wanted to be good at sports, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't good.
Yeah.
I could hit, but that's just because I hated myself and I could fling my body into other people.
Right, right.
I always wanted to be cool. I wanted to be good at football, and I was neither of those.
Yeah.
But I was funny. I loved wrestling, and I loved like random comic books.
Mm.
And then I got into comedy. And then I started going to open mics, and I started talking about wrestling, and other comics are like, oh, dude, like Survivor Series 92, and you're like, oh, shit, you know the shit. I was called gay for 20 years.
Good for you for holding on to it, because I let it go.
Yeah.
And now when I'm around you guys, and you guys talk about comic books and wrestling, and I'm like, fuck. Like, yeah. I said it all the time.
Get raised right, nigga.
I'm jealous of his childhood,
nigga,
man.
Ninja Turtles. I had the wrestling matches.
I let them niggas convince me that this hood shit was where it was at.
But that's the thing, because I had a group of friends, and they mostly turned out all right. They turned out to be good dudes, but in middle school, they were fucking problems.
Yeah.
They were a problem. And they were pushing that, like, they found my action figures when I was like 11.
Oh yeah,
and I was like,
how old were you when you started playing with action figures?
14.
Yeah,
14.
I used to play my shit on the low, son.
Yeah, dude.
I used to have like a few G.I. Joe jammed in my pillowcase.
That's the closest I can come to understanding a closeted gay guy that just goes and cruises. Because I would be like smoking cigarettes, hanging out with these bad kids, and I'd be like, yeah, those guys are a bunch of fucking pussies. And then I'd go in my house, and I'm like,
what are you doing, Skeletor?
It's like that guy in Spaceballs.
Yeah, dude, yes, 100%.
What did you just see?
Yeah.
I did not see you playing with your dolls.
I'm telling you, a lot of my childhood was like me being like, yeah, and then they fucking jumped this kid, Tony, in the park, and fucking we got cigarettes, but whatever. We're going to go to Roach's house later. All right, later, guys. And I'd be like, coming to the ring, Hulk Hogan. My mom would be like, Dan, dinner's ready. I'd be like, shut up, I'm not done. I was fucking 13, 14. I was fucking...
When you home.
Yeah.
It's like, when you home, you just want to be a boy.
Oh, yes.
Like, what do you just be a kid, man?
But what I like about what my mom did very well is she always encouraged me being, like, creative or, like, allowing my creativity to be weird. Like, I used to talk to myself a lot because I was an only child, and I found out that's normal. But I would do voices. I'd do voices from The Simpsons. I'd do voices from cartoons. I would just do impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would never be like, what the fuck are you doing? She'd be like, oh, you doing, who you doing? Like Macho Man or whoever it was.
She'd go with it.
Like I remember I was playing with my G.I. Joes and I did I remember this very young. I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I was playing with my G.I. Joes and I made a machine gun noise. And my mom was driving and she was like, what was that noise? And I was like, oh, she goes, that sounded like a machine gun. And I was like, oh, thanks. But it wasn't my mom was like, you're gonna be Michael Winslow.
Right,
you're gonna
be
the white Michael Winslow.
She just didn't tear it down.
She wasn't like, you fucking, what are you, weirdo?
Did you get in trouble in school for making noises and shit
all
like
the time.
That?
And
do you ever
jokes.
Feel like you kind of want to go back to these people and be like,
yeah,
guys, see?
My third grade teacher, Mrs. Roach, formerly Mrs. Castle.
That's funny. My third grade teacher was Miss Gross.
Yeah.
It's funny how Miss Roach Gross on it.
Roach, yeah. Mrs. Roach reached out to me because I talked about her on a bonfire and it was clipped because Comedy Central, you remember how the Comedy
mm-hmm.
Central used
yeah,
to
yeah,
film
yeah.
us when we were in studio? And they clipped it and I put it up on my Instagram or something and I got this DM that was like, it's your third grade teacher. And I was like, holy shit. And she's like, I knew you were going to be a comedian. She's like, I knew you were going to be a comedian. You were always trying to be funny. And
yeah.
That was what you got in trouble for. You were never a mean kid. You were never a bad kid. You just wanted to step on what I was saying with jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hell yeah. But it was awesome. I wrote her this big thing that was like, yo, I owe you, because she was my only teacher that didn't tell me to shut up.
Wow.
She was my only teacher that was like, Dan, pick your place.
They recognize.
Yeah, they're like, pick your place.
Right.
And then I would do it, and she'd be like, go out in the hall. One of my other teachers were like,
get the fuck out of here.
She's like, go out of the hall. Cool down. But it's crazy that she was the first teacher in my life. She was the first teacher in my life to give me a light.
Yeah.
You know? She's like, hey, I'm lighting you.
And
hey. You're like, all right, guys, anyways, we got a spelling test later. So I say, fucking,
I
heard there's pizza today for
I had a teacher that would try to channel it.
Yeah.
That would be like, all right, Dave, if you want to do the announcements in the funny voice, go ahead and do that.
I'll tell you what it was. Like, I might have got that, but what it was my music teacher would let me have long solos.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So he'd be all like, right, Derek, take it away.
Give Derek this. Just let him do his thing. So that's when I learned how to play around the drum.
Learn how to run the
call
light.
Call out shit. Yeah, I learned how to run the fucking light.
Dude.
I learned how to show off like a black comic in fucking Harlem.
Yeah, nigga. Where you're like,
fuck that light. Let's go.
When'd you lie to him? He goes, he's feeling it. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes.
I remember jazz judges would be like, he's very musical up there.
Yeah. Dude, that's like, that show, like to have that in your life,
yeah.
Where they're like, hey, do your thing for everybody.
Yeah.
And then you're like, that's what a lot of kids get in athletics. They're like, oh, go play baseball. You're a good, go do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
show
yeah,
them
yeah,
you
yeah,
can
yeah.
hit and throw.
The hyperactive
yeah,
ones.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
you're like, or go do this. Like, I remember reading this article about Reggie Bush, the old running back for USC and then the NFL running back. They interviewed his stepdad, and his stepdad was like, hey, he was a good kid. He just would run everywhere. And I was like, stop running everywhere. You're just fucking. And then they put him on the football field, and they're like, holy shit, this is the greatest college football player of all time.
Yeah.
You got to channel
you just
that.
You got to channel
autism. Yeah, because we're all autistic in some way, shape, or form.
Just set the laser somewhere.
Because I've been living with my girlfriend for a year, we know each other so well through this pandemic, but we both agreed that we have splashes of autism.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, can your autistic part of your brain do this? And she'll like fucking zone in and be like, got it. Because you need the weird parts of your brain shouldn't be shamed. They should be like, well, that's a tool. You can use that.
There you go. Yeah.
Like, how are you going to, like, my recall for wrestling is the same that I can recall for bits of
yeah.
other people.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, we're all the same. We're around the same age, and we were the first Comedy Central generation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like the first comedy, when Comedy Central was comedy.
Yeah.
When it was like, here's stand-up.
I got to it late, but I soaked it up heavy. Meaning yeah. I grew up without cable.
Yeah.
And then I got to college, and I had cable. And, like, I was literally the kid that would shut everything down at 9 o'clock. Like, wait, they're running a comic view. So
yeah.
I got to go see that. Or I would cut class in the middle of the day and watch premium blends that
good
were, like,
shit.
On repeat.
Oh, love
so I got
you.
Caught up, you know.
Yeah, but, shit, my dad used to let me watch Def Jam on a sneak.
Oh, come on.
My pop would be
and
like...
So you're seeing Martin Lawrence, I mean, bring
prime.
Everybody.
Yeah.
He'd be like, go upstairs, we're about to watch Cuss TV. You can't watch HBO.
Cuss TV.
And he'll wink
that's,
at me. I was like, oh. And I go upstairs, turn and watch Def Jam, like, 6 years old. Like, this shit... It's fucking crazy.
And my dad was always
yeah.
down to let me watch anything that was funny, no matter the language. So
yeah.
we would watch, I think when I was real young, it was SNL.
Yeah.
Where he'd be like, stay up. We'll stay up Saturday night. We'll watch SNL. And I'd be like, oh, we get to stay up? And
yeah,
like,
that, yeah. Yeah.
All right, that's dope. Because I do that with my kids. So hopefully I'm raising two female Dan Soders.
Yeah. But they would be, my dad would always be like, we're going to watch, I rented Rodney Dangerfield. He would, you know, like the Dangerfield specials where they had like young Seinfeld and Roseanne and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
Rock
yeah.
when he was like 18.
Yeah.
It was like all these people. And I would watch that and I'd be like, oh, this is so funny. And then my dad's from the Bay Area. So he was always like, you know, Robin Williams is from the Bay Area. So we'll watch Robin Williams. And I'll be like, oh, and then Dana Carvey's from the Bay Area. So watch Dana. My dad loved anyone that was from the Bay.
Okay.
We'd be able to watch it. So that was like a real thing inside. And then, dude, when I got into like Jerky Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was over.
My dad was like, this is the funniest shit in the world.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Mom doesn't let me listen to this. He's like, let's go to Target. I'll buy you all the albums.
Yeah.
And I'd be like. Really? And he's like,
okay,
just tell
good.
Your mom.
Because I feel like a shitty dad when I do shit like
no,
that.
No, man.
Like,
that's looking back, those were the only moments I had with my dad.
Yeah.
Where I'd
wow.
be like, can we fucking listen to this tape or watch? Dude, we got into Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
Are You a Redneck? My dad was like, I remember drunk and we were listening to a Walkman on those shitty speakers you would buy at Target.
Yeah.
You could barely hear it. My dad's just sitting there with a rum and coke on his chest and he'd be like, yeah. Thanks, laughing at joke. Like, that's a fucking, that's a good one. And I'd be like, oh shit, all right.
And that shapes what you laugh at now. You know, you see what gets your dad going a little bit?
My dad and my aunt are addicts. And they're both dead, but they're two of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah. You know
I mean, like, legitimately, I've been in comedy now for fucking 14 years.
Okay.
You know? And I look at it and I'm like, oh shit, this is... My dad and my aunt were funnier than most comics that I knew.
I know, yeah.
And that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
We all know people that didn't get into entertainment that are way funnier
so
than
many
us.
Drug dealers who should be fucking... Drug dealers are the funniest fucking people.
Because they have to have people skills.
Yeah. And you, like, to be outside on the corner all day. Yeah. I'm talking like 6 a.m, how do you keep your crew motivated come 2 p.m?
Mm-hmm.
Being funny.
Right. You know what I mean? And, like, people do not understand. Like, there are some dudes back in Philly who are just the funniest guys in the world, but they would never come down to open mic. They're like, I make too much money. I can't come down there.
See, yeah. My dad was a bartender. So for him, he was like, oh, I'm killing. I got my, you know, every night these people come and sit down and I fucking kill and I make money.
Oh, yeah.
There was never a reason for him to be like, oh, get into comedy.
Yeah.
He was like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
and go through that fucking process.
He's like, I'm a...
Jay-Z didn't start rapping until 26.
Yeah.
So he was out there hustling.
Well, you... And you just learned...
Clark Kent was like, come on, man. You could do... Yeah, man. What the fuck am I going to do this for when y'all talk about what I really do? Yeah, like...
But if you have those skills... Like, Greg Giraldo was a lawyer, then became a stand-up comedian, and then just used all of his law training...
Oh, yeah.
...to make premises into cases. So you just argue premises like a case and just break it down. And that's why you go back and listen to his album and you're like, holy shit, this guy fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Every angle.
Yeah.
You're like, every angle. This guy had the funniest takes.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. I fucking love it. All right. Let's do some plugs, man. Dylan, can we get some plug music, man?
Halfway minute.
Yeah, man. See what's going on in here. Dan, you got anything you got plugged coming up? Is the world opening back up for you?
Not till May because of Billions. We're back filming the end of season 5 of Billions. That's why I'm rocking the beard and long hair until I have to get cut.
Yeah.
Bonfire, Monday through Thursday on SiriusXM Faction 103, Faction Talk 103. We're back, and you can download it as a daily podcast Tuesday through Friday.
Oh, shit.
We put out chunks of the show as a podcast, so go check out The Bonfire, me and Big J Okerson.
Nice. Dope.
And it's a fun stoner radio show.
Yeah, yeah. Derek, anything?
We start filming Last OG Season 4, April 20th. And I got something coming out? April 2nd, Comedy Lives, that little piece that you saw.
Oh, yeah, the King of Bushwick.
I did
the
like
King
a,
of Bushwick is coming out.
I did like a love letter to all comedians in New York who came out at the end of the world and told jokes in the trees and on rooftops. So that's coming out April 2nd everywhere. We're trying to get it into the New Yorker, so it should be good.
You're going to fucking love it, guys.
Yeah.
I saw it. I went to the stand and saw the premiere of this shit. It was really well put together.
My niggas dragged me for an hour. Pocket. It was
what
incredible.
Else are we supposed to do?
Yeah, you can't
I got
be,
dragged for an hour.
There's a
so
reason
great.
You're a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
I got kidding. Dragged for an
you
hour.
You knew what it was.
So
you didn't
hilarious.
Have to tell us that it was happening. We
oh,
came
God.
Specifically.
Anything, it was so fun.
Anything sincere goes nowhere near my comedian face.
Yes.
Anything sincere. They don't. I have a whole
fuck with sincerity.
I got a whole crew back in Colorado I can be sincere with. Everyone here, I'm like, man, whatever.
All right, man. DaveTempleComedy.com is the website. Check out my special, the second one. You can also download that and stream that for free on all streaming platforms.
Okay.
Check
I
out
put
my
mine.
What's that? Dude, the album?
Yeah, no, the special. I got a special on YouTube right
go ahead,
now.
Tell
mom
him,
was
tell
at
him.
Home anyway. Make sure you watch it on NNFA's YouTube page.
His good mom helped him put
my
it together in the garage.
My mother directed it for me.
That's awesome.
My mom came to see me once at Caroline's and said I wasn't going to make it talking like that. What the fuck, man?
Your mom directed
it's
your
balance.
Special.
It's
my
balance.
My girl told me.
My mom
me,
doesn't even have HBO. I put out a special. My mom's like, I need your HBO password.
Right.
Me and mom watched Cat Williams' first
Jesus
special
Christ.
Together. Me and mom watched the Green Coat Cat Williams special together.
That's so
as
funny.
A unit with Pizza Hut. Fuck out of here.
Dude,
my mom's like, I want to see you on Colin Quinn's special or give me your HBO Max
yeah,
password.
Yeah, yeah. My mom is like the mom from Despicable Me. You know what I mean? I'm like, Mom, I'm out here doing good things. And
that's
she's just like,
tell me if this means anything. What's my that? Mother used to watched Eddie Murphy Delirious when
yeah.
she was pregnant with me.
That might be.
You know, and that like thing, like you play like classical music for kids that come out smarter. So if you playing the fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you could also just do what my mom did and just drink while you're pregnant.
Nonstop yeah. material.
My mom made McDonald's.
She ate
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
My mom played softball with me up until she was like 6 months pregnant. Like my dad had to force her to go sit down.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you the sound of a fucking bat going off a metal a ball going off a metal bat? Just you're like, I'm supposed to hit for placement, not for power. Now my mom was clean when she was pregnant with me, but you know, they lived like the bar lifestyle. So I think that's why I'm so comfortable in bars.
Yeah.
It's just like my mom would go hang out with my dad while he'd bartend while she was pregnant, and I'd just fucking sit and hang. That's why I guess I always want to go to a bar and smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's gotta
Jesus
be something.
Christ.
It's gotta be something.
Now, yes. We always ask everybody this on the show. Dan, has there ever been a time in your life that you should have apologized, but you didn't?
Just countless. Countless times. Anything between the ages of 13 and 36.
Pathological liar, right? 13, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a pathological liar. I just kind of fucking did. I don't know, man. There was a big thing of like admitting I was wrong meant I was a failure in life. That was kind of like the programming I had.
Okay.
But then I changed that in my late 20s to be like, oh, it's actually. Now I'm to the point where I'm like, yo, dude, there's. You want to know a way to win an argument, lead with I'm sorry. If you lead with the thing you're apologizing for,
yeah.
And you still have stuff to bring up to them, you're going to fuck their shit up. If you're like, hey, I was wrong about this, and they're like, thank you. That's right. Them being like, oh, thanks. And you're like, well, fuck you. Lead with the apology. Always
so,
lead.
So what's one that you held the apology back for that you're like, nah, fuck that. I'm not giving that up.
Good question.
Fuck, man. There's been a couple times where I wish I could just be like, hey, I'm really sorry about that. I would probably say to my ex-girlfriend that I dated when I first moved to New York City, I should have apologized for how encouraging she was and how shitty of a boyfriend I was. She was like an NYU student. I was like a 23-year-old open micer. I was just out drinking every night, and I didn't really give her like the... I never gave her that whole like, hey, I'm sorry I was a piece of shit back then. I didn't cheat on her or anything. But I just would like, you know, go out and get fucking hammered. And
well, does she still live in New York?
Yeah, no, she lives in Philly now.
Yeah, see, you gave her that thing because that's like, oh, this is the experience of going to New York and dating from, an underachiever.
Well, she's from New York, and I think it was like her, she was at NYU, and I think it was her first like, oh, this is a real life guy. Got it. Like, okay, this is what guys are like in real life, and I think we're cool. We've always stayed cool.
Oh, real life guy.
But I probably should have been like, "Yo, I'm sorry about all the Blue Nine burger you ordered that I would eat when I would come home hammered. I'm sorry, I never took a night off. I just now that I'm in my late 30s and I'm in a good relationship, it's just interesting to be like, oh yeah, I want to take nights off.
Right. You realize
I
want to
watch. I want to hear her about a day, about her day. I want to, you know. Yeah. Whereas like when I was 23, I was like, I got to get into comedy.
Yeah.
I got to be into comedy. And she'd be like, I love you. And I'm like, I got to get into comedy.
I need 5 minutes, please. Can I get a guest spot?
This is me. I got to go do a check spot at Stand Up New York. And she'd be like, it's my birthday. And I'm like, oh well, I bombed. I didn't do well. And I fucking feel bad because she was fucking so supportive the whole time.
Jesus Christ. So. That is great, man. You don't need to hold on to that. We don't. I like it too because it could be registered as what we like to call here on the show Black Air Force One energy. So, Dad, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning when we were getting started. What do you know about Black Air Force Ones, man?
I know in the black community it means something completely different than it does in the white community.
not too far, but explain your side and we'll get to that.
An all-black Air Force One in the white community means you got a restaurant shift coming up.
Uh-huh.
And you are about to fucking either work a double, you might have a fucking...
On those baked bean colored floors.
Yeah. You go, dude, you gotta do your silverware rolls. You know, your back and your lower back's going to be hurting.
This is cut the bread shoes. You gotta cut the rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's what it means in
the silverware rolls is hilarious.
We gotta be like, ah, fuck, man. If I see someone in that, if I see a white dude in all blacks like that and then black slacks and a jacket on, I'm like, you on a double? And he'd be like, yeah. I'm on my break.
Well, we describe, because also sometimes in the black community, it gets looked at as being a scumbag.
Okay.
And it kind of comes from that same culture of being like, hey, I'm on these, I have this low paying job.
Yeah.
You know, I can really only afford one pair of shoe. And if the opportunity to pull a Jukes comes along,
you're gonna be able to run.
Jukes right. And shoe. Well, not even just a run. It's just like any little shorthanded move to get the upper
Jukes.
Hand.
Sure.
Any little scam, you're down for it. So it got this connotation, like I've even gotten the label the introspective scumbag as mm-hmm. I share a lot of my Black Air Force One energy and things that I've done as a kid. And we happen to notice Michael Jackson.
Time to strap up.
Oh, dude, that's fucking perfect. That's perfect. See, with
World War III is trending, time to strap up. We're trying to change this narrative.
If for white people, it's like, you know, you don't have to fear Black Air Force Ones. You have to fear loafers.
Yeah.
Leather loafers. People that wear anyone that wears boating shoes without socks.
Oh yeah.
You're what have you done to hurt somebody? And they go, well, I simply merged together a health company.
Absolutely.
With this pharmaceutical company.
And there was redundancy.
And now they can't get the medicine into the inner cities. But I'm sorry, if you don't want to live in the inner city, you should simply move.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of where you're
that
like,
kind of
the
redlining. Arrogance to not wear socks.
We call those gerrymanderers.
Yeah. Gerrymanderers. And
you put those fucking boat shoes on, you got some gerrymandering going on.
Now, we talked about this once last time I was on Bonfire about Yacht Rock. You guys were introducing me to Yacht Rock.
Yeah, Yacht Rock's different though.
Is it?
Yeah, because those shoes, boat shoes, are people doing dirt. Yacht Rock music is for alcoholics that want to feel fancy. So it's different.
Okay, because so that's what we talked about. It's like the guy who pulls up in the Mazda Miata to take your mom out for a date. That's a Yacht Rock guy.
That's a Yacht Rock guy where you're like, oh, mom's going to fuck him. She might not date him. But then if you're in a business meeting and you see those boat shoes without socks, you're like, you're stealing something from me through this, aren't you?
Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is what you got to look out for. Yacht Rock culture is different than the boat shoes. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, you'll see dudes in the hood wearing Tims.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? But then white kids can enjoy rap music with dudes in Tims, not realizing that, like, you see that guy in the hood in Tims, he's not going to perform a song for you. He's going to fucking take what you got on you.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Okay.
There's the danger and then the culture from the danger. Boat shoes are dangerous. Yacht Rock is the culture you get from the danger.
I like that. Yeah.
You put on Christopher Cross saying, I think I'm not wrong, right? Am I right? I'm looking at the two other white guys. I don't want to speak.
Two other white guys.
I don't want to speak for all the pinks.
All the pinks. That is how you determine the real race. All these people that are doing 23andMe and doing all of that spitting in the thing, look at your genitals. If your nipples are pink, you're white. If your nipples are brown, you're black.
That's the best explanation I've ever heard for race in my entire life. You got dark nipples. You know what? You probably got
rhythm. There's some trauma there.
Yeah, you got some dark historical nipple, trauma.
You have historical trauma. That is great, Dave.
If your nipples are pink, you're white. That's it.
I think those two the two classes could be if you either have trauma nipples or colonial nipples.
Wow.
If you have colonizer pink or trauma dark.
Like dark cherry.
Yeah.
Like a white girl with some dark cherry drawing. Like, bitch, what
do you got? What do you got? Cherokee?
Bitch was born at Club 54. Yeah. Like.
And then if you have the pinkest nipples, you're like, oh, you're probably connected to the Mayflower.
Yeah. You're a Quaker.
Yeah. You have some fucking original colony blood in you.
You're a fucking Puritan.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, no. Good
What's funny, like I didn't even realize that because I have some pink-ass nipples.
Yeah, that's really good, Dave.
I'm like third. I think I'm probably like my grandfather was born in Colorado, which is fucking the 20s.
Hmm.
Which then if you look and you're like, so if his parents were there, some dirt went down.
Yeah,
if you're like, oh, my grandfather's from Colorado, we killed Native Americans. Right. God damn it. You like do the math where you're like one generation.
Because
white people love to do the, my grandfather didn't own slaves. My family never owned slaves.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you from?
Yeah.
And like, well, I grew up in San Rafael. And it's like, how many generations back does that go? And they're like, four? And you're like,
count it back. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Might have been some blankets with some smallpox in them that your family gave out.
Which, hey, man, don't be mad that your people got ahead. It was the thing to do at the time. I'm not saying I'm proud of it, but it's just hey,
that's
I can't say if I wasn't there and I was a white guy.
Oppressor pink.
Yeah, dude.
Oppressed brown.
You got the two shades.
Oppressor pink.
But I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing.
That's what's weird is like now I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, man. Now we're in this generation where everyone has to be like, I've never had a racist thought. I've never been free. As opposed to being like, oh yeah, dude, fuck, I just found out my grandfather did some dirt, probably. My great-grandfather did some dirt in Alt, Colorado.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, my dad's family's in fucking Sweden sucking each other's dicks. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah. Right.
But they didn't come to San Francisco until my dad's mom or whatever.
Even the way people like, move around, like even if you look at like, especially like, I don't trust a lot of people who like grow up in rural areas because I just feel like, what was the reason for leaving like the metropolis?
Mm, yeah.
So it's like when you look at someone like Michael Jackson's family, like why would they be in Gary, Indiana? Because what happened in Chicago that you guys needed to leave?
They needed that space so no one could hear Joe Jackson whooping the shit out of them. They needed that fucking...
They needed acres.
They needed a big backyard so they didn't hear Michael fucking...
Do the thing about Michael Jackson having black Air Force One energy.
Yeah, so we've noticed, like again, when we talk about black Air Force One energy and the people being kind of scumbags on that thing, we noticed Michael Jackson, if you kind of look at some of his music videos, a lot of black Air Force One energy out of that guy.
Billie Jean?
Yeah, it's like every video is people kind of minding their business, having a good time, and Mike just comes in and fucks shit up.
Remember
the time.
Every bit. Why did he fuck
up? Remember the time he fucked up everybody's shit.
And no, he just showed up.
Remember the time. And they're like, Mike, we don't remember.
Nah, fuck up. Fake smooth criminal. Yeah. They was lounging. This nigga, hold on, I'm going to change the music.
Yeah, he just threw and came in. He's murdering people. He's fighting people.
He's a robot.
Yeah, like.
He's a goddamn robot.
Out of fucking control. No one patted Mike down.
Yeah, man.
Thriller, the bitch didn't want to see the movie no more. He made a movie down the street. Like, all right, I'm going to scare you for real, bitch, since we can't watch this real movie. This Black Air Force One engine.
Someone owned that Cutlass Supreme that he danced on after Black and White.
Exactly.
Someone owned that goddamn car.
And he destroyed it.
Smashed it.
Like a level in Street Fighter, nigga.
It's one thing to vandalize a car with your friends.
Yeah.
He was by himself.
Just breathing hard.
Just bonus round of Street Fighter out this motherfucker.
Yeah. Got the E-Honda hand on it.
He murdered it, bro.
and then
thumbs up, hit the screen after, turned into a fucking panther.
Yeah. Right. And then a guy came out and was like, what the fuck with his keys? Fuck.
Right, you know he didn't find out till the morning.
Yeah.
Like,
he goes, all right, well, listen, I got to go to the... What the fuck happened to my Corolla? It's Mike's face turning. It's black. It's white.
And then it's somebody else.
Yeah. It's some fucking ginger girl
that
freckles.
That guy was out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, dude, he totally had, and if you watch The Leaving Neverland, that was a lot of Black Air Force One energy, where he's like, don't worry about your kids. How about on the slide, I'll take you to Hawaii? And they're like, oh.
Not even that. It was like how he'd move on. Like, when you old news, he push you aside like a side bitch and move on to the next boy. I was like, this shit is crazy.
You know, no one thinks about how much it has to hurt to be molested and then discarded.
Then discarded.
And you just call him up and you're like, it meant nothing?
Right. Because that's a level of rejection most women can't deal with in their 40s.
Yeah. 7-year-old boys.
I know, right?
Giving up their butts. And they're like, yeah, I thought we had something, dude. That's got to fuck
with
you.
Nah, there's somebody else on the roller coaster now.
I honestly, and I had this thought on the bonfire, and it was a joke in my HBO special, but I swear to God it's true. I watched that documentary, and I was like, man, I would have been, like, I said in the special, in the joke, I would have been like, man, Hulk Hogan could have had this ass. Because I really mean, it's true, man. If, like, fucking Joe Montana would have been like, you look like you're a strong little boy, I'd be like, you want me to take my shirt off? You want me to get rid of this?
I was just recently rewatching. I discovered that, like, the original Escape from Witch Mountain and Return from Witch Mountain are on Disney Plus.
Yeah, dude.
And I just watched them, and dude, it's a lot of, hey, Tony, take your shirt off.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Like,
we don't realize how sexualized children were in the 80s.
Dude, the premise of this movie is very Epstein-esque. Like this guy who's like a billionaire is like, do whatever you got to do. Use all my resources. Get those children here. And then there's just random men chasing these kids.
Crazy.
Trying to get them back. So that this, I don't know what he wants them for, but that's the whole movie.
Dude, there was in the 80s and 90s, there was a huge push in movies and televisions to be like, children are adults. And you're like, but we're not. We're kids. And they're like, no. Look at Little Big League. When the guy runs the fucking Minnesota Twins, Rookie of the Year,
yeah,
guy's playing in the fucking majors.
Yeah, yeah.
Blank Check is the best example.
Bruh! The fountain scene.
There's a scene in the fountain, but there's also a scene where he kisses a lady.
He does.
A lady just kisses a little boy. Like, now I think I could fuck you. And it's like, I mean, I love that scene because she was smoking hot.
Yeah, and she wanted Mr. McIntosh.
Because that was even the weird thing where they go
Mr.
that far.
McIntosh.
They go as far as to create that loophole in Big on some, like, it's a kid, but he's
she
a grown man.
She fucked a child.
She fucked
right.
A child.
She fucked
a child. You don't know what he's doing
yet. That's fucking pedophilia.
Yeah, that's weird.
Disney was like, well, as long as there's not any Jews in it.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
When you find out about all the
That's a child. Also, do you remember that scene in fucking, what was the other movie you brought up with the picture? Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, Rookie of the Year.
He's like famous and then they cut to him on like a Pepsi commercial.
Yes.
And the chicks are all just like on him, like playing the piano. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
And then you got Daniel Stern just there like, you gonna fuck him? I don't know, dude. I thought you were my pitching coach. Why are you pushing me?
I actually love the coach getting his fucking name up the whole time. Hosenbagger.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Stern just caught him between the doors
and
they opened it. I was always like, you can't fit in those doors. I've been in enough hotels.
Yeah, Tom Hanks took that girl home after a business Christmas party in Big.
Oh, yeah.
I love how there was nothing.
They played Forget Me Nots.
What do you think was the appeal for her other than the rejection? Other than the rejection, what about that guy made her go, please, take... Because at no point did he try to close the deal on her.
Because he was kid-like.
Yeah, because women love hot women that are lost, love weird dudes. Because they think it's going to solve everything. Where they're like, he's so weird. And you're like, that's usually leads to bad shit.
Yeah, the whole bunk bed shit turned her on.
Where she's like, okay, I guess we're sleeping in bunk beds? And he's like, yeah. Normally... if he wasn't a child that made a wish, that guy would have been like, all right, cool, let's go to the bathroom. I need you to shit on my chest. And she'd be like, oh, that's the drawback. Like that character in Big, he'd be like, I need you to choke me.
And in my mind of minds, like, what the fuck therapy did she have to take when she saw that man turn into a boy as he walked back to his mama's
Jesus.
House?
No. She went like
he turned back into a boy.
She went, No. God damn it. What's
he stood there and waved at her like, bitch, you gave me the pussy.
And you don't think his mom, when his mom opens the door and lets him in the house, she doesn't go, hey, who's that woman?
Was that where you've been kidnapped?
The
trauma that Tom Hanks's mom goes through.
Yeah,
like, my son was taken. There was a man inside my house, and
with his underwear on.
With his
crazy.
Wow.
Like they don't play up the fact that that mom was shook after that incident.
Yeah,
she's like, I gotta get hammered every morning. I gotta get drunk.
Yeah. Jesus Christ,
my son's gone
because he was in
and
coming.
And his friend did a good job because his friend that was with him not know
the baby.
Oh my God.
Dude, Big is a problem.
Big is a problem. It's a problem. Problematic movie now.
And man, they just greenlit it. They're like, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks was, you could do anything when you were Tom Hanks at that time.
You still can. Tom Hanks is fucking.
Tom Hanks pulled off Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, dude, he's Mayweather. He's 50 and 0.
I'm a cop, but my partner is a fucking.
Slobbery ass mastiff.
Dude, Splash?
I'm
fucked a mermaid.
Daryl Hannah was a mermaid, nigga.
He's fucking fish people.
Tom Hanks did it.
Oh, my God. I fucking love Tom Hanks, man.
Oh, shit.
That guy, that motherfucker there.
He's the best. Best of all time.
Pickles, what's up, man?
Chilling. How y'all feeling?
He's quiet today, man.
I'll be honest. I didn't take Dave's advice. Dave gives me one piece of advice when I wasn't feeling good. He goes, man, just the first meal of the day, make it good. I had a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle this morning.
McGriddle.
I don't feel good, dude.
McDonald's, man.
I'm not feeling good.
I can't do that.
All right, man.
Yeah, McDonald's is like prostitution. You got to go there when you're ready for it. You got to be like, I feel dirty. Let's go get some fucking Mickey D's.
Yeah. It's only a
that's
great
where the
after,
tricks
after,
go.
Between 12 and
that's
3.
That's that trick counter. Yeah, let me get a...
I'm trying to eat healthy right now, and all I'm drinking is either coffee, unsweetened iced tea, or water. Like, those are the only
options.
I give myself, and I'm like, when I lose like 12 pounds, I'm getting a Big Mac. I'm going to fucking do it up. Get a soda going.
Put it right back on, right?
Put it right back on.
Nah, man, I'm motivated. I try to get to that.
I'm just don't want to, man.
Bro.
I don't want to die, man. I mean, I want to die, but not from that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'll die in a car accident in my sleep. I'll take a fucking bullet, but I don't want to die on some, like, I was just fat.
Yeah, snacks killed him.
Yeah, you don't want to die on, I felt a tingle and then it all ended.
Yeah.
I'm scared of dying skinny fat. Because like I'm skinny and if I eat like shit, But what if the food is the one that gets to me? And like, you can look at a fat guy who dies of food, and be like, all right, well, you successfully did it. Can't look at a skinny guy and say that. Like, I'm just going to die skinny, but like, yeah, he had food problems.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know about cholesterol. Cholesterol's important.
I don't know why.
I don't fully understand it. I don't fully understand it.
I just know. Food is a bitch. Like, you remember on Seven when he killed the fat guy with God. Food?
And he woke
and
up.
And he kicked his stomach. That shit was crazy, bro.
Gluttony.
That shit was wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Mm. I don't know why I just thought of that, but I'm like,
that's in my head now.
Yeah, that was a wild movie, bro.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
Well, yeah, that movie close was this thing crazy. Out. Before we close this thing out, though, I want to go through. We still got to plug this fucking bonus material, man. Mm-hmm. We got some bonus material coming up. Dan, you're in for a fucking treat, man.
Yeah.
We did a show. Can you pull your trailer up, Dylan? It's in the link in the email. So, No Need's been on the road. We've been doing some great shows. Dylan Pickles, our producer. You know, the fans, they fucking hate him, Dan.
Yeah.
I don't know. The fans hate him.
Across the board, Dylan is hated.
Yeah. We don't know why it is.
Sweet boy. But I can't say that I don't fantasize about Mike Harrington fucking knocking him out.
So we did a thing.
That is a lie, Dan. I could confirm that is a lie.
I'm very much looking forward to Mike.
I'm sure even now, just him talking is making people do fuck right. But they're going to stick around because it's Dan, and they want to hear what Dan is going to say next. So what we did some bonus content that we're putting behind the Gas Digital wall. We're doing some live shows. We're getting back out there. We're super spreaders. We don't give a fuck. You know? And we took Dylan with us because Dylan's a young comic.
Yeah,
Dylan's a young fucking comic, and Dylan, he's we basically made a deal. So go ahead and play this trailer so that we can advertise this bonus content footage.
So it's Friday and we are making our way out of New York. We're on our way to pick up Pickles, the producer. Dylan, the
turn it up a little bit.
Well, what do you call him, Derek?
My nigga, Negree. That's what he is. But today is gonna prove if he my nigga or not. We on a road trip, and I ain't never seen this nigga do comedy for. He might be strictly producer after tonight.
So go ahead, pause right there. So we took him with us to do comedy.
Pressure.
Right.
Yep.
That is pressure.
So he knew about it for a while, right? He did everything he could do to get ready. He had no idea when we're coming to do this road gig that we're also going to document this thing and put it. Because if we did, do you think he would have came?
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No.
So
it's the beauty of the shot.
So go ahead, keep playing the trailer. Let's just get there.
Westchester, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? How we doing? Make some noise.
Hey, so we got Sammy with us. What's up, Sam?
What up, man?
Hi, our road captain, our pilot, Tiana Sasha. All right. So, yeah, we about to pick up Dylan now. See how he's feeling.
Oh, man, how you feeling?
Man, I'm always feeling good, Dave. You know this.
Yeah.
I'm a chipper man, Dave. I like having fun.
But you've been up a lot, right?
I've been getting up leading up to this, yeah.
So go ahead, pause it real. Pause it. Yo, how many times would you say you got up getting ready for this?
I'm trying to think. We confirmed it like two, 3 weeks out. I think only like
how
shows?
Many sets, nigga? How many times?
Not open mics, like 3-4 shows.
All right.
Okay. Which is that's a good amount, right? What would you say, Dan? 3-4 shows. Dylan, you've been doing comedy like 2 years, right?
Yeah, like 2.5 years.
Two and a half. Nah. It go up every time we ask.
You got that 2 weeks in advance, at least 8 sets. Or else you're gonna take a hot. You're gonna take a hot one regardless.
Oh shit!
There's just no way.
You mean me sitting in the room with Derek Gaines before my set wasn't a confidence booster?
Oh man!
Wait.
Oh no! It just...
You went on before Dylan?
No, I just was in his head the whole time before he got on stage.
No.
Derek, you're a piece of shit.
We
I love you, but you're a piece.
Huge piece of shit. That's why when I hear that he got made fun of for Comedy Lives, I'm like, good.
Yeah,
good.
I got dragged, bro. But nah, because I was killing Dylan. I was killing him in the fucking.
Yeah, because you. Oh my god.
Hey, he's the worst. Yeah, go ahead, play.
Keep watching
more.
Look at his pre-show energy.
Second, I got this news. I hit up everyone, every contact I knew. I was like, I need to get up.
Oh, those are the songs you sing on the way back if you bomb.
Yeah. I was teasing the whole time.
Oh. You have windswept hair.
Yeah, was it windy? What's going on?
You know, some people have been teased out of comedy.
Yeah.
Doing road trips like this.
I know a couple people.
Yeah.
I know a couple
people. We've teased a few out. We've gotten rid of a few.
God, remember those days?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think you can still do that now in 2021?
No. Like you should feel be
like,
able to.
Yeah, I feel like someone could get you canceled if you're big enough. Like, they teased me and I had to get my whole career off track.
I got a list that once we're cleared, I'm gunning. I got a list that I'm gonna fucking
once I'm clear
politely tell to leave.
Yeah, it's so great.
Go ahead, play some more.
Look at
give Dylan shit as far as whether or not he can talk on the show, as far because he is comfortable. He is really comfortable.
Nigga comfy boy.
Probably one of the most comfortable producers at comfy Gas. Boy. And he hasn't been there long. Now here's the thing. I give it up to Dylan. Boy. Dylan's a talent. Dylan is a talent.
That nigga comfy.
But we do that. We create monsters. All right. If you're gonna hang out with the great boy and the god on a regular basis, you know, your confidence level's gonna go up. You know what I mean?
So what I love about this, I mean, we're definitely go ahead, keep playing in the background, but we're definitely we're pulling this kid into
you're shaking him up a little.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, we'll get some
man. Just that thought where you're standing in the venue and you're just waiting and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is to be a mook anymore.
So it's a pretty nice size crowd.
Kind of that I'm bringing to the stage. He is actually the producer.
Look, Derek's been in his head the entire time.
I was teasing.
Derek's been in his head the entire time.
Hitting the switches and all that.
Dave didn't say one word to me the entire time either.
What? Beforehand or after?
Nah, I was fucking with him.
Yeah, beforehand, Dave said nothing, and Derek said everything.
Because I know what that pressure is. I want you to do well. So I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of it. Like, what would you do if you were me? Would you fuck with him? Would you be Dan? How would you?
I don't know. If I knew Derek was fucking with him. If I knew Derek was fucking with him, I think he did the right thing. He did good combat.
Yeah, you're not gonna double down on this. This is fucking brutal. You know what I mean?
This is bringing up all my fucking
yeah. Shit you got to go through.
The first time I featured for Bobby Kelly, I opened for him at SUNY Delphi, and I had to take a bus up there. Obviously, I knew who Bobby was. I was like an Opie and Anthony fan. I was a Tough Crowd fan. I loved Comedian, the documentary. I just knew Bobby. I knew who Bobby was, and he called me. He's like, "This is Rob. I got your number from Joe DeRosa. This is Robert Kelly. You're going to open for me at SUNY Delphi. I'm going to meet you there because I'm on the road." And I was like, all right. And I got there and I didn't know what it was going to be. And I was like, hello, how are you, sir, or whatever. And he's just like, all right, we're going to see if you're funny. Like that. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It was just like a fucking, I could still feel that anxiety.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if I'm funny.
So how did you do? How did you do that night?
Thank God. The fucking guy that introed us, you know, colleges, you got to start cold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy that introed us, just by a pure fucking miracle, was like, can I do 5 minutes? And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, yeah, dude, fucking do 5 minutes. Yeah. And he ate a dick.
Yeah.
And then he brought me up, and I was like, eh, fucking guy. And then I did all right. And then afterwards, Bobby was like, hey, you're funny. I'm going to use you.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, fuck that other guy. But I didn't.
So it can happen. And that's what I want the audience to understand.
It can happen.
We don't know the outcome of this footage yet. No. So you got to tune in to catch the bonus to see. Go ahead, play a little bit more before we get out of here, Dylan, just so that the people can see what this thing is, man. So this is I'm going to put the full show up there.
Microphone. Give it up for my man right now, Mr. Dylan Negrete.
I'm looking at the closet.
Closet.
I'm looking at that white dude that looks like he played for fucking Arkansas in 95.
Yo, that's so
Yo,
fucking
that's
right.
crazy.
That white big man face.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Shit. And then fucking Russell Westbrook's two to the right. Dude, you're fucking this.
Jared, we did this last week with Jared Freed on the podcast and played it, and Jared said the same thing. Whoa, that guy does not believe in you.
Yeah.
That guy is not having it.
That's the worst, is when you can look into a crowd and be like, he ain't buying this.
Well, the funny thing also was Dylan was shocked that the crowd was so white. He assumed that, you know, the need for apologies audience was just going to be a bunch of black rockers.
Yeah, you're gas digital, dude. What do you think?
He had wrote black material.
He said motherfucker real strong.
Yeah.
He said all his motherfuckers was really strong.
Yeah, this.
Like he had hard motherfuckers in the set.
Really.
Motherfucker? Yeah. He had the Jewish on it
when Dylan,
but he was trying to still be
when
black.
Dylan was sleeping the night before thinking he was going to win it over like 8 Mile.
Everybody, I'm going to murder this man.
He's like, I'll go a cappella. Your shirt's stupid, motherfucker. And it's like, no, dude. You're getting some whites. You're getting some Louis J. Gomez loving whites.
We walk into the green room. Derek looks immediately into the mirror and just starts doing bits.
Yeah.
Like, just practicing shit, and I'm just sitting there panicking.
Yeah.
I was like, this will win. I was just going over all the shit that I was going to shit on. It all worked.
But
I shit on him. It worked.
Yeah.
So it was great.
That was fun. Just a little bit more before we get out of here, man. Just a little bit more.
Hey, come on!
But yeah, he came up to a nice hot crowd.
Hold on!
You came with the hood on?
Hood on!
You fucking piece of shit. You arrogant piece of shit.
Dylan fucking stinks!
Oh, you
Dan.
Pete Davidson knockoff.
Can I be so honest?
Fucking dollar
store.
There
was a minute in my set, and you can see it in the video. I think I take it off with a quickness because I realize it's still on, and I was like, this is not good.
I almost just ripped the fucking mic out of the fucking table. Came hood on.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
It was like smelling ammonia for me. Fucking
what are you, against being comfortable?
Yeah, you're not comfortable. Oh, you're on stage to fucking perform.
It was
perform.
Cold. It was cold. The garages were open to let all COVID out.
He said, you Jesus fucking Christ. Dollar store Pete Davidson.
Man. All right, we got to go so we can't finish this whole fucking trailer, man.
I'm fucking clenching my toes because I'm so mad.
But... That trailer, we'll put the trailer on social so other people can see the full trailer. We'll get the full show and that bonus content footage up on GasDigitalNetwork.com/NNFA. So, man, hey, Dylan, say goodbye to the people, man.
Man, y'all know where to find me. Y'all know where to hate me. At Dylan J. Negri. Go on my YouTube, Dylan
That's
J. Right, Negri.
Boy.
Go to my Doped Up and Dying podcast. If you hate me, man, go drop a comment there. Help me on the algorithm. And also, fuck you.
Drop a comment there.
I'm on the no need for apologies. Somebody never.
Dan, sign off. Say goodbye to the people, man.
Thank you. DanceOder.com. Listen to The Bonfire. I love you, too. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt, man. Derek, say goodbye, man.
Hey, you know what it is. The great boy. I love y'all. No need for apologies.
All right, peace out.
Oh, God. Good shit, DanceOder.
Oh, you made it to the end of the episode.
That means you're messing with the no-needers, the no-need fam, see?
And if you're messing with us, your friends and family are messing with us, too.
So tell a friend to tell a friend.
Share the goddamn podcast.
Subscribe to the goddamn podcast.
We need to get the 4K.
Like the goddamn podcast. See? YouTube. Now, and you can go to podcastmerch.com and get some other stuff because our hoodies are no longer...